You're listening to Higher Ed Social, episode 72. I'm Logan.
And I'm Jackie. And this week, we finally got a hold of Rebecca Stapley. We've been trying to connect with her for a really long time. She is the Assistant Director of Multimedia and PR over at Nazareth College in Rochester, New York. So, of course, we talk a lot about New England because we like to do that when we have another guest from my neck of the woods. So we talk a lot about the weather and how we're really starting to feel the fall weather up here. But Logan still has, what, temperatures in the upper 90s?
Middle 90s. We also talk about where both Rebecca and I come from, which is admissions. And we spend a lot of time chatting about what we've learned from our departments and all that kind of fun stuff. And we also talk about strategies on hiring and utilizing student workers and volunteers. So we talk about the Boulevard team. We talk about student workers. We even talk about the questions that we ask in interviews. So we hope you enjoy this episode of Higher Ed Social. Pick up my iPhone on Friday, so
so exciting.
Oh yeah.
My husband, he's so obsessed with Apple, but he set his alarm clock for 3 a.m. when they announced the phone so that he could order his.
Yeah, like, I set right mine for 1:55, and then I sat there and refreshed it, and then I had a lot of internal, like, I want the plus because it has that really awesome double camera. When the pre-orders came through, they only had like two rose gold ones that I could reserve because I have the iPhone upgrade program. Whoa. So before anyone thinks, oh, Logan's just throwing his money away. No. I just get another iPhone and just keep paying payments. So it's like no big deal.
Yeah. But that's such a great program.
Yeah, I love it. Or at least I'll love it if it will work for me, if it actually does what it's supposed to do. But anyway.
I missed the whole release. Is the 7 bigger, smaller, thinner, fatter?
It's about the same, just like some, like the design, like size is the same. There were just a few changes. Like the little stripes kind of in the back are gone now, and better specs, better camera. Logan, you correct me. You probably know way more than I do.
Well, they redid the display, so it's a wide gamut. So in other words, it shows more colors, so it's more colorful. And of course, a more powerful processor, longer battery life. For the first time ever, they've actually said, oh, we have more battery life. And the home button they redid. And there's no headphone jack.
Oh, I heard all about it.
Yeah.
Being the internet like meme fan that I am, as you probably are as well, mm-hmm. I was loving all of like the Apple nerd memes, like the pictures of Kate Winslet from Titanic on the little thing, and what does this girl have in common with the new iPhone and no room for jack? So good.
That's hilarious. I have not seen that.
That's pretty awesome.
I highly suggest if you have, you know, some time on your hands, just like
go
into that rabbit hole. And
that's hilarious.
We'll see what it does. I haven't been as super excited about this one as I have been in other ones in the past, but I mean, it's got just enough. Like the camera is probably just worth it for me. But I ended up having to get a regular 7 because they only had rose gold 7 pluses. And, you know, when I saw, I held my friend's 6 plus, like that thing's too big.
Yeah.
It's like half an iPad.
My hands are so small. It's bigger than my hand.
Yeah. They are really, I even have a hard time like using text with it just because my fingers are so small. So yeah, it's definitely a little bit large, but that camera is really nice.
Well, the other thing too is that it's 128 gigabytes. So I've got like 2 gigabytes left on my 64. So yeah, I could just use the bigger hard drive's worth it for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
The sound's supposedly better too. It's stereo sound when you turn it in.
Yeah, that is really cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So we'll see. Like I said, I mean, I almost got the 7 Plus, but I wanted black, not gold, like rose gold.
Did you want black or black?
I just got black.
Is that a decision now? Black.
No, I mean, the jet black wasn't shipping until like middle of November. So I was like, nope. Well, the thing is, you know, with my upgrade program, I don't want to shift it, right? So if I get my iPhone in November, then that means I can't upgrade till November when the like super amazing, completely redesigned 8 comes out. I don't want to deal with that. So that is if a 7S doesn't come out.
That's true. Yeah. I know they always keep us waiting. You never know what's going to happen.
Well, I actually want the Apple Watch a little bit. I kind of want the Apple Watch Series 2 more myself. That's just me. Anyway, maybe you should introduce yourself because we've been going for a while and the listeners might want to know who you are.
Oh, yes. Well, I am Rebecca Stapley. I work at Nazareth College, where I do assistant director of multimedia and PR. And I run all of our social media accounts, work very closely with everyone in our marketing team of 10, with people that I adore. And yeah, I'm just really, really happy to be talking to you guys on the show.
Yeah, hello.
Awesome.
We're so excited. So listeners, there was that one episode a while back that we were really bummed out because we tried to have a guest and it didn't work out. And then we tried to have another guest and that didn't work out. And we revealed that second guest was my sister. And the first guest was Rebecca. Because Rebecca happened to be stuck, I think you had like a flight delay or something.
Yes.
And so we were like super bummed out because we obviously were not going to be able to record from an airport, although that would have been a very interesting episode. Yes. And so we were trying to find someone and we tried to get my sister and then the audio wasn't working and so we just threw in the towel. So listeners, the mystery has finally been revealed all these episodes later.
Yes.
Our awesome guest that we were trying to have. So I'm glad that we have you finally.
Oh, thank you. I'm happy to be here.
We're excited. And so you just moved into this new job.
Yes. I've been here in my new role since March. So I got my start in admissions and, you know, pretty early on, I think I just realized that I was just really fascinated with marketing. I think just naturally I'm just drawn towards it.
Yeah.
And
I know how you feel. I did almost exactly the same thing you did.
It's, you know, sometimes life is really nonlinear, but we just kind of end up, I think, somehow, like it's evolving. But yeah, I kind of found my way here. And I guess it started with just kind of, you know, I'm a curious person. I ask a lot of questions. I think probably way too much. And I remember even like my first year in admissions, like getting that cycle under my belt and, you know, just questioning, like, are we really, you know, being effective here? Like, and having these questions. And one of the things I noticed was there really wasn't much of an opportunity for our current students to really share their perspective with prospective students. So aside from tours and open houses, I just felt like this was a message that really wasn't getting out. And it is just so rich and so important because most students and families, they don't really care what an admissions counselor says as much as I'd like to believe that they do. It's just so much more interesting and authentic when it's actually coming right from the source. So from the professors, from the students. So I wanted to start tapping into that, like using a blog and social media. And when I first kind of floated this idea, it wasn't that it wasn't a good idea, but everyone is just, you know, running so thin in admissions. They're spread really thin. And so I kind of got shot down. But then like probably 6 months later, I just decided to make friends in our marketing department. Luckily they were really nice to me and like willing to help and hear me out. And I just kind of launched a blog using my students. I was at the time coordinating admission student ambassadors, and that really just took off. I loved it and just tried to do as much of that, as much collaboration with marketing and with students and anyone who would work with me. And then I guess now the rest is history. So that's a very long-winded.
That's really a cool story. That's nice.
Very familiar, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about how that happened for you. I didn't know you're from the admissions side.
Yeah, I came from admissions a few years ago. And
more than a few.
Yeah, it's been a while now. 2011 is when I switched, so I guess 5 years. But anyway, I started in admissions doing, you know, reports and stuff, and got into web, and then, you know, at a conference, I think it was a Staymates conference, there was a session by Brad Ward, who's now at Duolingo. He talked about, you know, Facebook groups and how, like, students were, or this company called RoomSurf, I think is what it's called, or something or other. I think it's like YouRoomSurf now or something. Anyway, okay. they were making Facebook groups to, like class up Facebook groups for universities,
yes,
to get students into them. And it was called Facebook Gate. It was kind of a thing. So, that actually got me, inspired to create a Facebook page for the university because Belmont didn't have one. So, and you know, this was 2008, 2009. So,
yeah.
You know, we created the Facebook group, Facebook page, and, you know, I kind of worked with marketing and with communications to kind of create content for it. And eventually I ended up becoming like, they ended up moving me over to marketing to be head of social media. So,
yay!
So I was social media and digital marketing specialist there for a while. And now I'm the web and digital media manager. So now I'm in charge of web, social media, and video. And
that is like awesome.
A month and a half I've been that. So I've moved up and around at Belmont. So just by having the gumption to make something, I still work a lot with admissions, do a whole lot. We have preview day on Saturday. I'll be doing a lot for that.
Yeah, so. Us too. So, which is great.
Yeah, it's like they gave me a new job, but I never really left the old job. And I still do a lot of what I originally did.
So, in a new way. That's so cool.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing. That's awesome.
The only one that did not come from admissions. I've always been in marketing. But I've had the experience of working in marketing communications under advancement, and now I work in marketing communications on its own. So that's kind of a different lens. It's been interesting, but you know, it's just kind of how priorities get aligned, basically, which can be good or bad. But when you're in the marketing department, you work with everybody, which is really challenging sometimes, because everybody needs very different things. So.
Isn't that the truth?
See, like, it's like stress all the time. We just started up our semester. I know we start real late. So all the requests are coming in. We had to deal with like move-in weekend and first day of classes and all that stuff. So it was like, all right, I am good with the stress. Like, please no one give me any more work.
I know how
can't
that
do this.
Yes.
Can't do this.
Yes, do I.
Yeah. So luckily it's over.
I don't think I've ever been so busy in my life right now. But all I have to do is make it through.
Yes.
The next
there is something so nice about, I mean, sometimes like it has, and especially with move-in, crazy busy. And you know, you reach that like, whoa, this is a lot. But I do love the constantly having to be on my toes. And you know, everyone says no day is the same and higher ed does have a cycle, but I will say working in a marketing department and, you know, with social media and with digital, honestly, it's just there's always like a new problem to solve, like a new challenge. And it really, I think for me, I need that. It keeps me on my toes. It keeps me from getting lazy or stagnant. And yeah. I love it.
It is as much as true.
I sometimes feel overwhelmed in a good way. But yeah, it's the best.
Yeah, I like being able to work with this many different people. Like, I feel like I'm not stuck inside my team.
Yes. Which
is nice. So it's a good place to be. It's a lot of fun.
You definitely have to have your kind of attitude, though, to survive.
Yes.
I mean, if I wasn't, you know, like you, because I think to some extent I am, I think that, I see people burn out real fast.
Yeah, it gets challenging.
It's true. It's true. There is, it's hard to say. And I mean, I haven't been yet officially in marketing for a full year, but, I know in admissions burnout is a huge problem. And I can see that. I think any department where things just move so quickly and you are working with so many different people. So it's that trying to find a balance. And for me, even just like during the day, I've been making a real effort to close my door, just to breathe and like, just stay on task. I'm an introvert and I think also an extroverted introvert, but just learning, like, especially when you're face to face with so many people, and I really, really value relationships. And I think that gets me through, the busy, crazy, but also trying to figure out like how to take what I need, in terms of if that's just a few minutes where I close my door to the world and don't care about like if people think, oh, is she being rude? Like, you know, which nobody would think. It's just these internal thoughts. So I've been trying to really like step away from that and do what I need to do to take care of myself and to take care of what needs to get done, even when things are a little bit nutty, if that makes sense.
No, I get that. I joke that it's a challenge. So we're kind of, my department is kind of in a temporary space, even though they've apparently been there for like 2+ years. And the way it's kind of laid out, we're in one big kind of office space, and we all have our own offices with like a door, but the walls don't go all the way up to the ceiling. So like if the ceiling is like 15 feet high, the walls are only about 10 feet high. So, so like they're kind of like exaggerated cubicles. So like I joke that like
with four walls.
Yeah. Like I can get changed in my office. Like if I wanted to change into my gym clothes without a worry, but I can't have like a private phone call. And so sometimes sometimes it's fine because like, it's funny. You just kind of like scream across the ceiling to somebody instead of like emailing them.
Yeah.
But other times it's like kind of challenging because it's like, it's a little bit weird. And I'm actually coming from my previous position. I was working in an open office, so it was totally open. I didn't have a wall. I didn't have a door. I could touch the people next to me that I worked with. So I joke that I'm slowly graduating back to getting a full office because now I have walls, but no ceiling. So I sometimes don't get that. I wish I sometimes had though that time to just shut my door and sit, but you're always going to hear what's going on around you.
So. My office doesn't have ventilation, so I have to leave the door open to breathe. Mostly, I have a Mac Pro because I do video editing, and it's the trash can Mac Pro. Not because it's a piece of trash, but because it looks like a trash can. Anyway, it constantly blows out hot air. And if I close the door, it'll get up to like 85, 90 degrees in my office. So I have to leave the door open. My boss came in there the other day and he's sweating and he's like, you know, it's hot in here. And I was like, that's why I opened the door.
Oh, yeah, that would be a good reason to keep that ventilation going sure.
But luckily I'm like, so we're on two levels and there's a copy center like below the marketing folks, and to the side is another office space where the senior director and the assistant director are, and upstairs are where the two web folks are and our designers. So I am on the bottom level behind the copy center, so I'm like completely removed from everyone. So I get to play my speakers as loud as I want to, which is nice.
That's very nice.
But there's no ventilation, so that's a drawback. But But, you know, if there's a tornado, I'm in the safest place. So
that's great. Gotta look at, for that silver lining.
I might not notice it. I've joked that I'd probably the first thing I'd notice is just the power going out, and then I'd go out and see what's going on, and that's probably when I'd find out there's a tornado.
Oh, do you get tornadoes where you are?
On occasion, yeah.
That's a thing.
Ooh. We're in what they call Dixie Alley, which is another version of Tornado Alley. The difference is in Tornado Alley, you get a bunch of little tornadoes that happen all the time. Mm-hmm. And in Dixie Alley, it kind of goes down from Middle Tennessee down into Alabama and Mississippi. We get tornadoes not as often as they do on the Great Plains, but we get them. They tend to be larger and longer lasting. So we get a lot more F3 plus tornadoes, and they last for like 50 miles.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And that is something living in upstate New York.
And we have trees, so you can't see them.
Oh, yeah, it's so different. I think I was born and raised in Rochester. I did go to college in Ohio, and we did have like the tornado sirens that would go off every mm-hmm. now and then. But you know, I think we kind of forget in some ways, like Jackie and I guess, how good we have it. Not that they don't have it
happen, but
it's very different.
We have a lot of snow.
You have blizzards.
Yes, we do.
Snow.
So
it makes me feel kind of the whole like winters in upstate New York. It makes me feel like a badass. So whatever.
That's a great way to describe it.
I feel like it takes like just being able to like get through like an upstate winter. I think there's inherent like level of you know you've got some tough skin if you can make it. So at least that's how I like to think of it.
Well, when I'm here in Albany, I've met some people, because Albany, at least as far as I can tell, is a city that people move to. It's not a city that people are like born in. Like I haven't met too many people that are like born and raised in Albany. And I met two girls from California that moved to Albany. And I first was like, I don't know why you would ever do that, but okay. And we were talking to them about like the winter and snow, because they have no idea like what to prepare for and what to do. And we said, when we were telling them, you know, like you're going to want to buy some salt or like cat litter for your apartment, and you're going to want to get a shovel for your car. And they thought we were just kind of like duping them. Like we were just playing them because they don't know anything. Like they're like, why would you buy cat litter? We're like, no, like we're not, like we are trying to be good friends here and tell you what to do. And they didn't think it, they thought we were kidding. And I'm like, I always have a shovel in my car.
Do you mix the salt with the cat litter?
Do you what?
The cat litter is to keep your, like to give you extra weight in the car, right?
Oh, that, but also it helps you, I guess it helps like traction if you get stuck on ice or if you get stuck.
It's like sand.
Yeah. Got it's like it. Sand when you get, if your car gets stuck. But this, I mean, the salt helps to melt the snow because it lowers the, what's it called?
The freezing temperature.
Yes.
Freeze point or whatever it's called.
But it really only works to a certain temperature. If it's like below 20 degrees, it like doesn't work.
Yeah, so generally not buffalo snow. but yeah, cat litter helps to, if your car gets stuck, it helps get traction for your tires on ice.
Now I have learned something new. See, I always knew that like to add extra weight to the trunk sometimes, like if you drive a smaller car, but I did not know that about the traction. So here I am, a seasoned upstate New Yorker, and I've learned something new.
Bam, get ready. Winter will be here in probably like 3 days, because it's only fall for like half a week in upstate New York, and then it turns into winter.
It goes from being 90 to 15. Yeah,
it's terrible.
Yeah. We'll continue to be in the 80s probably until December, but by January it'll be like usually the first week of classes. It's like negative something. The first morning. The morning will be like negative something, and then it'll get up into the teens.
Oh, yeah. See, it just stays in the negatives in New York.
Yeah, it does.
No. And I'm nervous because New England had such a mild winter last winter. I'm nervous. We have
four full seasons here, sort of.
We have four seasons. Definitely.
Two of them are just very short.
Yeah. Spring and fall are just really, like, small.
Yeah.
It's just been death hot here. Like, today was the first day in probably 3 weeks that it's been, 2 or 3 weeks that it's been in the 80s, as opposed to the mid-90s with heat indexes in the hundreds.
Oof.
So, yeah, no thank you.
Yeah.
So I'm happy that I'm back in the, it almost felt like fall. Like, we're waking up now and it's like 50, 55 degrees, and that's nice.
I know. I love it, that crisp, cool weather. And we had this challenge over the summertime, trying to take photos for social media, at least for me. And, you know, it's like, oh, beauty, because beauty shots of campus are, no matter what you post, they're always like the most popular.
And sad.
Like, it is. I'm like, oh, but this content is so exciting. Right. And look at, and it's like, no, just show me a picture of a beautiful building with ivy.
That's all I want.
Yeah. But yeah, I was struggling in midsummer to get photos outdoors of campus, because despite having, you know, some irrigation, it was just crispy and yellow. And mm-hmm. I was trying to get creative by taking, like, you know, just the sky up of like, and, you know, maybe just a beautiful planter. But yeah, it was pretty crispy.
Belmont doesn't get crispy.
No.
No.
That's
we have
good.
Impeccable grounds. How's that? It almost never turns yellow. Or
it's also because green. You have nicer weather. Like,
no, upstate- we're in the hundreds. We're in the hundreds, Jackie. It gets hot.
That's true. Hot. I guess your grass can burn.
Belmont. Okay, braggy on Belmont a little bit. So Belmont has...
That never happens. This is a first-time occurrence that Logan brags on Belmont.
Well, Belmont does have, like, really awesome irrigation systems. And this actually goes to our conservation covenant, which is what we do to our green initiative. So we have huge reservoirs under two parking garages, I think, that... pull all the rainwater from when it rains and stores it so that we can use it for irrigation. And,
that's awesome.
So everything stays nice and green and happy all summer long.
It sounds so happy.
Yeah.
I guess I'm going to have to, like, go check out Belmont. Go check it out. Go for the campus tour. Go check it out.
And you should come.
I love
here.
Going
I'll
to other
campus
campuses.
Tour.
Be awesome. It is one of my favorite things, though, just going to other college campuses. And each one, I mean, I loved it, you know, way, way back in the day. But now, you know, in this profession, it's just so energizing and it's so exciting and so interesting. And that's
Jackie's
why
campus is beautiful, too.
It's yes. I was telling Jackie right before you came on, in admissions, they have the Summer Institute for new counselors, kind of like a training week there. And I got to go stay actually in one of the dorms at Skidmore. I forget which one. It was like,
aren't they beautiful? Like, please, they're gorgeous. I think
so nice. A lot of space too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved it. I was kind of sad when the week was over and I had to come back, but yeah, it's incredible.
It is. Even our historic residence halls are really nice. But the new ones are just over the top amazing. They just blow my mind sometimes. Why didn't I have this when I was in college? Especially the views that they have, because Belmont's up on a hill, right? Mm-hmm. We're at the highest hill in Nashville. So all these students get like the million-dollar view of the skyline. And it's amazing.
That's really nice.
I'm so jealous.
They have it so good.
They do. That's what I get really frustrated when you kind of watch the social media channels and you see, especially when my students complain about their living quarters. I'm like, do not. Like, I can't even. They're gorgeous. Like, you don't understand. Like, you have this beautiful, like, window ledge that you can sit on and, like, look out. And it's so pretty. Yeah, I get real frustrated.
I remember when I was in college, we had to vote on whether we should turn the heat on or not.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't say that I had to do that.
Yeah.
I can't say at least heat was provided. I may have been living in, like, you know, a very tiny cinder block box, but we did have heat.
Oh, yeah. We had heat. We just, area government had to come together and all the residents had to vote on whether we were going to turn the heat on or not. because it was either the building was either chillers on or heaters on. So it was one or the other. And in Tennessee, it's not that simple because, you know, and this is what I love about my Nest. I have one of these. So it will turn on the heat or turn on the cool depending on what the temperature is, because that's what a thermostat should do. But the residence halls were just on or off, and they couldn't turn it. Once they turned the heat on, they couldn't turn it off. So if it was like 60s and everybody was cold and we voted to turn the heat on, you know, if the next day it was in the 80s, like, you're just SOL, you know, it sucks. It's especially for here, cause it can get up into the 80s into December, but some days will be 60s and some days will be 80s. So it's weird.
It's hard. It's hard to control that kind of like climate for sure.
Well, see, you guys up in New York, at least you are like near a body of water, whether it's a Great Lake or whether it's an ocean, you're like within a few hundred miles of it. For us, we're out in the middle of the continent, so the temperatures just fly left and right. It's a funny thing where it will be like 40 degrees in the morning and then it'll get up to the mid 80s, like 45 degree difference.
And isn't it hard for you to like plan your day, like your outfits?
Yeah,
like
what are you gonna wear?
Yeah, what are you gonna do?
You take a jacket with you in the morning, but you wear short sleeves under it.
That's a good way to do it.
Or you wear shorts and a long sleeve shirt.
It's hard. Hard to make those decisions.
You can survive in shorts when it's 40 degrees outside if you have a long sleeve shirt on.
See, my problem is like dressing for my office as compared to outside, as awful as that is, because my office, especially over the summer, actually was super cold. But of course, it's like 90 plus degrees outside. So I have to like dress for that. But then I was wearing like 3/4 length shirts and like sometimes longer pants in the middle of summer because I'm like, well, I'm going to be inside my office all day. I'm going to be freezing. I don't know.
It is really hard.
Life's so hard, right?
Oh, I know. It is so hard. No, but I do know what you mean. And especially, it is. It's in our offices too. We have some AC units, so it stays pretty cool. And then, especially for us, because we're social media, so we're running around and all over the place. And then, you know, outdoors, you realize quickly, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm dying. And then, of course, you know, realizing, oh, I have to go be around students, around people. I'm like, do I smell?
There was a day that I was running around and like sweating, and I was like, this is the worst decision. I kind of wish that I wore something different.
We've all been there. Yeah. Move-in day for me, it was a really, really humid day. And it was just one of those things where I was so happy to be behind the camera and not being like photographed, because I was definitely just completely a mess, but loving it. So
I wore shorts and a t-shirt. I didn't care. And nice. Apparently my boss and senior leaders didn't care either, because I was like, hey guys, I'm going up and down stairs. Because the elevators, you can't use the elevators on move-in day. You're running around in 95 degree heat, and it was also raining on and off too, with it being 90 degrees. So, have a really cool like 40 minute time lapse of it just finishing raining and then turning to complete sun, and you seeing the clouds just kind of boil away to blue skies. It's awesome. I'll put it in the show notes. But it's
definitely. Let's see it.
It's pretty neat. But it was an interesting weekend.
Yeah, it always is.
I can't believe they've already been in school like 3 weeks already.
I know. It feels like, even though for us it's been 2 full weeks now, it just feels so much longer. And it's so abrupt. Not that we're, I don't want to say slow in the summer, because somehow, you know, very busy.
Yeah, you're always.
Always on. But at the same time, there is a different level of busy and just a different level of the amount of things going on at one time once the school year starts. And we were actually joking in my office. We're like, you know, actually for us, we feel like September in the beginning of the school year is like the new year for people in higher ed. So we're like, let's make some resolutions here. And we're like, let's make our new year's resolutions over again, because in high ed, this is it. This is the new year.
It is. Yeah. I forget. It's funny, 'cause like you know, when I have friends that none of my friends around here work in higher ed. And so they're like in the swing of things, everything's normal. And for me, I'm like, everything's crazy right now. I don't want to talk to you.
Yes, exactly. I know. And I, you know, start ghosting and I'm just like, I'll be back. I'll like, I'll come back. I like, promise, don't worry. I'm still alive. Yeah. I'm sure Logan, it was even like, remember back in the day, if you had a travel territory when I was traveling, it would just be like, all right, I'll see you guys in 5 weeks.
Yeah, I never had to travel, so I was lucky in that sense.
That's nice. That's but really nice.
My wife has to, though. She's in admissions, so she...
Oh, cool.
Her travel / audition season is coming, so that's going to be crazy. But preview day is this weekend, so we're both going to be there. It's going to be crazy. Are there any big projects or anything you're working on right now?
Yeah. So the big projects that I'm working on, oh my gosh, there's always a few things. I'm doing more and more for grad admissions. We're kind of building that in. And we also did we've done a lot of rebranding over the last 2.5, maybe 3 years now. And we had someone come in and we've done a lot to create like a brand manifesto. So we're going through kind of as a team, a brand manifesto. Yeah. It's a manifesto. Yeah. Of our brands. And it just kind of gets to the essence of, you know, things we've already been focusing on and helps us to better communicate that and understand that as a team. So, you know, we're working everyone in our department, you know, thinking about that and how, and it's a lot of change that's happening. So that's really exciting for me to be a part of that. And then one thing that I am really excited about is I actually have someone working with me. So we just created a new position for a social media coordinator awesome. To work to do more of like the monitoring and some of the posting. And I'm just so excited because that kind of frees me up to, you know, look at some of those, you know, really big picture projects and do more of that strategic brainstorming. Because I think, you know, we all love that, but it does become really difficult when you're a one woman, like social media shop, having the bandwidth. So I'm just so excited to see how that opens up for us, kind of on all of our platforms. We just launched, Snapchat, which was, you know, a long time coming, but something that has been a lot of fun. So I'm utilizing the students that I have. And I guess I should say that I had mentioned the student blog. So I work with a team of 10 to 12 students and they're brand ambassadors. Technically, it's the admissions student blog, but really now it's, you know, just as much marketing. So there's students that, they tweet, I give them kind of branded accounts. They are community builders. When we get to yield time we use Uversity, but for our Facebook community and content creators, I'm getting ready to do I do twice a year big training days for them, you know, with everything from design in Canva to understanding branding. So I'm just so excited to have more of myself to give to all of these exciting projects that means so much to me.
I know exactly how you feel.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I have a team of about the same number of students that do very similar things. They're called the Boulevard team and they're awesome. So
that is so cool. And how can I ask, because I have recently changed, how do you select students for your team? Like, how does that process go?
Well, applications ended tonight, actually. We actively recruit students at the beginning of the year at like the student organization fair and in our Facebook groups, for each of the four classes that are here at Belmont. And then from there, you know, students apply and then we interview them. And from there, we pick the best.
Cool. So you use from like the whole campus community. That's awesome.
When you run social media, why not, right?
Logan, do you pay your students?
Do donuts count?
No, they don't.
No, they're volunteers.
That's great. Yeah. I have three student worker positions.
I have an actual student worker too, on top of the Boulevard team, but yeah. And she happens to be on the Boulevard team. Part of me has decided maybe I should start hiring from the Boulevard team because they're just way more motivated. And they kind of know me already and know what I expect and all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah, it does. It takes a while to, anyone to get up to speed, and it does help. I have, I just hired our two student workers, in our department, and both of them are on our social media team. Mm-hmm. But I ask because I just recently made the transition. Having started from admissions, I could at first only pull from that team, and talking to some others who've had student-led teams, some people are very passionate about really staying within admission student ambassadors because they have that training to be brand ambassadors. And it was a little bit scary. Last year was the first time I branched out and, widened the net and started using students who weren't admissions student workers that went through the whole admissions spiel and training. And so far, so good. And it is, it's really, you're right. It is campus wide. And it's great.
You can train them just as easily to be brand ambassadors. Just yes. Like you can train them in admissions to be brand ambassadors. Yes. It's you run them through the same training. I mean, it's kind of a thing. I mean, it's not that hard.
It's true. And I'm getting better the more I've worked with students to, you take a chance and sometimes, most of them are just incredible, but I think the longer I've been able to work with them, I like to believe that you just kind of know. I think one conversation, I think within the first 10 minutes, sometimes you know who's a really good communicator and who is kind of a living brand ambassador, right? Naturally, if that does make sense to you.
It does. I know exactly how it is. I tend to, on the Boulevard team though, I tend to pick a mix though, not just the super extroverted students that are great communicators, but also the quiet, artistic ones too, because, for Instagram, for video and things like that, sometimes the ones that are super talented aren't necessarily the ones that are, that's why we have 15 of them. Some of them are great speakers. Yeah. Some of them are great designers. Some of them are great, video or photographers. I mean, it's a mix. And yeah. I think it's really good for them because they get to work with the extroverted people, and the extroverted people get to work with them. And that's the way it's going to be in the real world. So they're actually getting like real world team building experience. So.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you 100% there. And I think one of the things that I, being an introvert, really love about social media is that it's like that way where you have this distance. So I'm able to be by myself, a lot of times in a room with multiple monitors and all our different platforms. But also be connecting in a way. And I just I love it. I love it for that. And it's interesting in my team in the marketing department, there's quite a few of us who are introverts, but still just, you have your different skills and your different passions and it's great. I love social media for that because it's great for kind of both camps, both your extroverts and your introverts. And it is cool to see how different people kind of manifest those skills in different ways.
Yeah. What is your favorite, or what do you think is a cool question to ask students when you're interviewing them for this position?
There's certain go-tos, just having to get to know them, what they're involved in. But I think, I like to ask them about, what they're really passionate about outside of school, so outside of their major, what is important to them. Sometimes goofy things, I try to pick up on cues and, if they say something, let them go with it. I was just interviewing a girl and she mentioned that she loves skincare and loves makeup. And that was, kind of a off topic thing. And I think just letting conversation go organically and saying like, oh, well, what kind of, you know, makeup brands do you like, or what are you drawn to? And, you know, just learning things that way. I have a student who does roller derby outside of college, and, you know, just
very cool.
You get
hearing
it.
About,
that's a thing.
Amazing. So I just really try to, those little nuggets, like, cause it can sometimes be hard to get them to share, especially when you're meeting, for the first time and they don't know you. So I think I try to ask them those questions that aren't just school and work related, so that then I can, you know, kind of pick at those little golden nuggets and say, well, you know, tell me more about that. And I think just being able to listen to whatever they want to share, and kind of, that's my favorite thing.
Well, that's a happy note to end on.
It is.
Thanks, Rebecca, for joining us this week.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun to talk to you guys.
Yeah, we're glad we were finally able to make it happen.
Yeah.
And listeners, head down to highered.social and get links to the things we talked about today, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. If you like the show, please give us a review. We'd love to know what you're thinking. Also, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at HES Podcast. Send us a tweet. We love talking to you, and we'd love to know if you'd want to be on the show. So thanks again for joining us.
Thank you. Have a great week.